Dan Berube, marketing manager at Merrimack Repertory Theater. We closed the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged. The stats are in. How did we do?
The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged came in number 3 all time in Merrimack Repertory Theater history.
Whoa, woo! We're number three. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 264, Box Office Records. In this final episode of 2011, let's stay in the Christmas spirit for a little while longer and talk numbers. Bottom line, butts in seats. We had an amazing record-breaking run of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. So I sat down with Dan Berube, the marketing manager at MRT, because I wanted to find out how we did it and what he does for the other shows in MRT's schedule. But first, he schooled me that the Christmas show is not the only record-breaking show the Reduced Shakespeare Company has.
Well, in fairness, you were already number one.
What? How does that work?
Yes, well, the America show is the all-time record setter at MRT.
Well, and MRT has been going for how long now?
33 years, over 220 productions. So you actually have 4 of the top 12 shows now.
Oh, in the 33-year history. That's awesome. And there's an asterisk by our number one status, though, isn't it? Wasn't America a longer run?
Yes, the America show did run 36 performances. We usually only run 26, so your record is likely safe for some time until we're able to expand the season. But you know, the Christmas show, number 3 all time, certainly nothing to complain about. Largest pre-sale in MRT history and the largest selling holiday show in MRT history, beating A Christmas Carol and Sanders' Family Christmas, and coming, outperforming other shows such as Midsummer Night's Dream and The Fantastic. So, you know, some well-known shows that this one has been more popular than.
And I guess we could just chalk the Christmas show's success up to the marketing. Am I right?
Absolutely. I mean, it was a perfectly executed marketing plan on my part. I had absolutely no help.
And what was your plan? Just have the RSC do a show with Christmas in the title?
Yes, that was the entire plan, and have your great artist come up with the Groucho Santa artwork, which, of course, popped in the brochure.
Right.
And, you know, of course, I joke because... you know, was the show marketed well? Yes, it was, but it was something that people wanted to see, and that's the great combination. We have a great staff here from, our house manager to our box office people to our, Ryan and Mallory, who do a lot of the media stuff. So everyone was working together as a team to get the message out, and people really responded. They wanted to see a Christmas show that was not The Nutcracker or A Christmas Carol, and we really got the word out and tapped into it, and, you know, from the moment it was go, this show was, you know, flying.
Well, and I think much of that has to be attributed to the fact that this was our 6th time performing here at MRT in the last 10 years. So we've built up, I mean, MRT, in marketing speak, MRT has built up a sort of brand loyalty, not only with its audience for its shows, but with the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, we get feedback all the time. When is RSC coming back? I'll see anything they do. So you guys are quite popular with the audience, obviously. I mean, when you have the top performing shows in our history, that kind of speaks for itself. So obviously people love what you're doing. The MRT audience knows what to expect when you guys are on the season schedule, and they want to see what you're up to.
Well, and it's a perfect space. It's a lovely space. It's like 300 seats. We perform at the Kennedy Center regularly, and that's a lovely place where we do well all the time, and that's about 500 seats. But those are lengthy runs. You know, sometimes we'll play, I don't know, large theaters in Madison, Wisconsin, for instance, where it's 1,800 seats, and we'll do well for one night a year, but, you know, we're here for 3 or 4 weeks with you guys, so that's a few seats to fill.
Absolutely. I mean, there are almost 8,000 seats available in a 26-show run at our theater, so it does add up after a while.
Yeah.
So I think you get the best of both here, because the audiences get that intimate experience. I think as great as it is to probably play a 2,000-seater, it's not the same for the audience as being in a 300-seat theater where they know it's possible to be picked on by you guys at any time. There's no hiding in our theater.
There isn't.
I mean, and literally in this show, I mean, you are climbing up in the balcony. There is no safety in this show. If you think, oh, I didn't get the front row seats, I'm safe. That's not true with the Christmas show.
No, that's not true. And I do. I thanked MRT last night during the performance for having such a climbable theater, because you could literally climb up on the seats of the back row of the bottom of the house and climb into the balcony. It's just too much fun. As marketing manager, you do what, 6 shows a season, and everyone, on the one hand, you can sell the entire season and the reputation of MRT. On the other hand, you are now selling 6 different items, and aside from the fact that they're theater, they're all different things. How do you do that?
Well, that's always my issue, is there's 2 different audiences. There's the subscribers, of which we have about 4,000, who subscribe to pretty much every play, and about half of them resubscribe before we even announce the season. So we just say, well, this year we're doing 7, and they say, I'm in. So that really gives you a nice base to build upon.
And right there is a testament to the trust that they have in the programming that you guys do.
Exactly, because they're coming just because we said we're doing some theater.
Right.
And they know that we're going to do a lot of new plays. When they get their season brochure or their form to resubscribe and it says the list of plays, they're not going to know any of the plays on that list,
right?
Because we do so many new plays. And then, of course, we have to sell the individual tickets, the remaining 4,000 tickets, out there to single ticket buyers. And we do a lot of different shows. We did a Robert Frost one-man show starring Gordon Clapp before you guys came in.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had you guys doing the Christmas show, and now we're in rehearsals for The Voice of the Turtle, which is a 1943 romantic comedy. And later on in the year, we'll be doing a musical. So,
right.
You know, we like to say you have to see all 6 or all 7, whatever we're doing that year, to get the full taste of theater that we present, because we can't do it all in one night.
Well, and when you subscribe, basically, you get such a deal on it. Basically, the audience gets 1 or 2 shows kind of for free.
Yes.
So, you know, if you don't like 1 or 2 shows, that was like the free one anyway.
That's Charles's joke. Whenever someone subscribes, say, well, I didn't like that one. He said, well, that was your free one.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And then what kinds of, a friend of mine just got a postcard from one of the other theaters that we played, and he said, I loved a postcard. What a very 20th century piece of marketing. Do you do postcards? Do you mailings? Is it all online? Advertising? How do you do that?
Oh, well, we still do the postcards. Yes, we still mail out tens of thousands of postcards per run. But, you know, we do all of it. We do internet marketing. We do social media. We advertise on the radio. We do print advertising. We do as many things as possible. When I started marketing shows 10 years ago, and I know you're looking at me, you're saying, wow, 10 years ago, you were like 19, and I was.
You wily veteran, you.
Yes, but it was much simpler, you know, looking at my bosses and what they did, because they would literally call up a radio station, and your show would magically sell out. And I was like, oh, well, this job's easy. I can do this. And now that I'm the one making the decisions, I've learned, wow, there's a lot more to do, actually, because the impact of any one marketing activity has been diluted. So you have to do all these different things now. You have to create show videos and trailers and do interviews and blog posts. And these are really time-intensive activities.
Yeah.
You need a staff that can actually produce all this content about the content your theater is producing.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you do. You have to cast a wide net. You have to blanket the area with information. And some of it is expensive, like advertising or postcards and postage, and in terms of dollars. And some of it is expensive in terms of people's time. You know, all the social media stuff is, well, it's free. It doesn't cost anything except employee time.
That's exactly right. You know, that's always the battle that we're fighting. There's so many extra projects I'd like to do. There's always that extra video I want to do, or after listening to your podcast, I'm like, we should do that, but it's just another project.
I was
like, when can I add that? And right now we're doing a total redesign of our website, so that's going to suck up a lot of time in the next 6 months.
Right. Wow. That is going to be bad. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that. That'll be fun actually to see.
Yeah, and Mallory is designing it from scratch.
Wow.
We're not doing you know, a third party vendor thing. We've done that before, and we see the internet as really the future for attracting new ticket buyers. When our website was built probably in 05 or 06, none of this social media stuff mattered.
Yeah.
You know, theaters weren't making
trailers. Very little of it existed. Yeah.
Very little of it existed. We weren't making trailers. We didn't have a blog. When I started here in 08, we had 67 Facebook friends, you know? And it's a completely different world. And the website we have now is not designed to showcase the content we're producing for our audience. Right. So we have to change that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. And Mallory's awesome. And so I can't wait to see what she comes up with.
You're listening to Tim Minchin, randomly standing here with Austin and et al. You are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the first few months of 2012, we'll be coming to Yakima, Tacoma, and Edmonds, Washington, Reston, Virginia, New Bremen, Ohio, Kent State in Ohio, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Waverly, Iowa, and Sonoma and Santa Rosa, California. And we'll be able to tell you about where we'll be performing next summer, 2012, in 2 weeks on January 9th. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to Dan Barui, marketing manager for Merrimack Repertory Theater. I had just asked him if reviews matter, whether they help him market a show.
Oh, reviews matter. A lot of people like to say that they don't matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might actually matter more now. In the past, if you got a review, it was in the newspaper one day and then it went away. And someone had to look for it.
Now
it exists forever online. And a lot of the newspapers have great Google Analytics and SEO. And they're always popping up when you search for the show. So people can find that bad review so easily now.
Yeah.
And we do so much new work that it is necessary. You know, good reviews, they do help us get the word out to people who are a little bit skeptical of trying something new. Obviously, the subscribers aren't like that, but for the single ticket buyers who need a little bit of a push, it does matter.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just looking at that list that you have of how our shows have done. Like, all right, so America's show is number one. That has gotten pretty fantastic reviews from the beginning, including a Valentine from the New York Times. The Christmas, this is the first time we've ever done the production, so we got mostly rave reviews, and even the Globe review was mixed.
Yes.
So, I mean, he liked it, but he didn't like it as much as he liked sports. And yet we're still number three.
Yes.
And sports, interestingly, got uniformly rave reviews. In fact, it's got uniformly rave reviews wherever it went. And yet it's only the fifth top-selling RSC show here at MRT, at number 24, which is still in the top 10% of the 220 productions you've done.
Yeah, and I think with sports, it was just a different marketing challenge because theater audiences are so heavily female. There was a lot of concern in our audience early on that the show was either going to be too vulgar or all locker room talk.
Right.
And it had been a little bit of a break between that show and the last time you guys had come here. Might have been 06.
Yes, you're right.
So there was a little bit of reintroduction to the RSC brand that had to happen.
That's right.
But once they saw it, then it started to take off. It got off to a very slow start compared to the Christmas show, which was crushing it from the beginning.
Well, and I remember the Globe didn't like completely Hollywood, and yet it's number three. So, I mean, we, at least, the Reduced Shakespeare Company, seem to be unaffected by the reviews, at least from the Boston Globe.
Yes, maybe the Boston Globe cannot kill a Reduced Shakespeare Company show.
Yes! And as you were saying, you're talking about how much you do new plays. Really, the Reduced Shakespeare Company is the closest thing to a familiar name you guys usually do. I mean, that must be an extra challenge for a marketing guy.
Well, I don't know if it's a burden. I look at you guys as something that's really fun to promote because people really enjoy your shows, and that's why I got into the business to share that enjoyment I have when I go see a show with other people. No one comes to MRT and goes, "Oh, I really hope I leave sad and depressed and don't enjoy myself." You know, people go to theater or concerts or whatever. They go to have a good time. And You guys give them that.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me happy, seeing all those people smile and know
right.
they enjoyed what we're doing. But as far as, you know, new plays, I mean, think about it. The last two plays you guys have done here, Sports and Christmas, they were the first RSC productions. So mm-hmm. even when we're doing plays by an established brand like the Reduced Shakespeare Company, we're still doing your newest plays.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, Charles, he makes commitments to playwrights to do their works. He doesn't workshop things to death. He doesn't give you a token reading and say, oh, well, I did your new play.
Right.
He gives you a production. A lot of times, without seeing the script, because he trusts people. I know
yeah.
he's done that with other people, and I'm pretty sure with the Christmas play, he did the Christmas play because you guys said you were going to do it, and he trusted you, and he put
yeah.
it in the season, and that was that.
No, it's true. I mean, he's one of the... I mean, we've developed a relationship over 10 years, but and we knew where we were going to go. But yes, I mean, that level of trust is sort of unique in our relationships. I mean, we played a lot of theaters, but not every one of them has been eager to embrace the first production of the latest script. What's it like for you when you get actors into the MRT and they haven't written the show and they haven't directed the show? Do you know what I'm asking? I mean,
oh, yes.
with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, we're the same guys, so we know how to, and we're pretty obnoxious, so we could go out and be on the radio. What do you get when you get, what happens when you get, you know, quote unquote, real actors?
Well, I think you guys are real actors.
Well,
yes. Yes. I mean, it is convenient with the Reduced Shakespeare Company that everything is packaged, where
yeah.
I have access to the actors and directors and writers all in two humans.
Yeah, right.
So that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
But with any show, when you're marketing, you have to say, okay, what's my hook here?
Right.
You know, what do I think that the audience is going to respond to? And... you know, there's different audiences for every message. When you're writing a press release, you're not really writing it for the people coming to see the show. You're writing it for the people who you want to write about the show.
Yeah.
So you have to target them. Like our good friend Nancy Tuttle,
mm-hmm.
When, you know, she's coming in to do an interview like she does for every play. I say, all right, well, what do I think Nancy's going to respond to
right.
when it's something like, all right, who's going to be the guest on the radio? After I meet the actors, I'll get a sense, all right, who's comfortable? Who do I think is going to be comfortable? Who has an interesting story?
Mm-hmm.
Is someone local? Has someone done the play before? You know, what's my hook? You know,
yeah.
I always have to be looking for that next hook. Like with The Voice of the Turtle, this next show set in 1943, I just learned that our lead actress is in the USO, which is perfect for that show.
Oh,
and
wow.
our lead actor, who's playing the sergeant that she falls in love with, was in ROTC growing up. So it's always, you know, it's always about learning the stories. It's tricky when you're... in marketing, because you're trying to tell someone else's story, and the people who have all the good stuff are the artists and production people. So if your theater is separated on that dividing line where the artists go on one side and don't talk to the admin people,
mm-hmm.
you really can't function today because they have all the good stuff. No one's paying to see me. You know, we need to get the good stuff from the artists, and that requires communication. So I always tell those production people, if you find out something good, if you have a nugget, or you're doing something interesting, it may be just a day-to-day thing for you. It's like, oh, I designed this costume. That's what I do. That's so boring. No, for our audience, it's actually really
yeah.
exciting.
Yeah.
So, you know, snap a picture. Luckily, we all have smartphones, and,
right.
you know, we can just email this off, and, you know, we can become collaborative like that. But I tell people, what you're doing is interesting, so we just have to share it. But
yeah.
I don't know the good stuff. You have to tell me.
That's so interesting. I am now realizing that in this theater where you put on almost exclusively new plays, you, Dan Berube, as the marketing manager, have to write a new play about every new play. You have to tell the story of every new play and write it out and get that story out there. So you're marketing manager and resident playwright.
Absolutely. Sure, sure.
That's it for this week's and this year's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. Send us your record breakers via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Facebook fan page. You can become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, daughter Matt
manager Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Josie Fox. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Tim Minchin, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 264 790 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
It's pretty calm throughout the year up there at the North Pole. But now it's Christmas Eve and it's time to rock and roll. The elves are busy making toys, the order's pretty large. And everybody cowers from the person who's in charge. Mrs. Santa Claus, Mrs. Santa Claus, her ladyship will crack the whip. Mrs. Santa Claus, she marches through the factory, a walking cloud of doom, terrorizing reindeer, kicking elves across the room. Now everybody thinks her jolly husband is the boss, but who is always sober when Santa hits a sauce? Mrs. Santa Claus, Mrs. Santa Claus, Mrs. Santa Claus, the iron hand behind the man. Mrs. Santa Claus, her hair is shiny silver and her cheeks cherry red.
Granny glasses on her nose, a bonnet on her head.
She maps out how to get around the world in just one night,
cause Santa can't find his own butt with both hands and a big flashlight. Keychain.
Woo! Where is Mr. Santa? Friend of kids around the world. He's drying out in rehab with a 16-year-old girl. Though he can hardly stand up and his vision is a blur.
Like all good men before him, he'd be nothing without her.
Without her.
Without her.
Without her.
Mrs. Santa Claus.
Mrs. Santa Claus.
Mrs. Santa Claus.
Mrs. Santa Claus.
The awesome chick behind St. Nick. Mrs. Santa Claus. Mrs. Santa Claus,
Mrs. Santa Claus,
Mrs. Santa Claus,
Mrs. Santa Claus.
When he's off his sleigh, she'll save the day. Mrs. Santa Claus.
Every year the children cheer for Mrs. Santa Claus.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.